And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team with 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Okay. Doing all right. Quite a busy Easter. Long driving, early mass, and then watch the Preds get losing a very, very ugly game.
It was not good for the Nashville Predators last night. We'll get to a lot of that throughout the show here today. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well this morning, guys. Today is a big day for the program. I finally get my car back this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
After the long-awaited, gruesome process.
We have made it. Relearn how to drive that thing.
I know. We have made it. We have made it to the end. So let's just, fingers crossed, it all goes smoothly this afternoon. I kind of doubt it, but let's hope.
Wow, do you like the rental car?
It's a nice little car that you can, you know, park in smaller spots, but I feel like I'm sitting on the ground because I drive like a Jeep Wrangler and it's so high up. And then when I got this rental car, I feel like really low to the ground. Like in drive-thrus, when I go get my coffee, I'm like sticking my whole body out the window to like grab my coffee. I'm like, this is so weird.
I don't know what to say to that, but I just was wondering, in case it does go poorly, you could still have more time with a rental car.
Oh yeah, just keep going with it.
It's better on gas.
There you go. Well, if you get it, then you know you got a car wash coming soon. So,
oh my gosh, yes, better, Joe. Maybe. Oh wow, yeah. This is great.
It's been gone so long we forgot about the car wash.
We'll get why that did I bring out. It up? I
Joe don't know. Didn't forget. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chase McCabe filling in for me on Friday. Hope you guys had a good time with Chase McCabe. Not a good time for the Predators yesterday at Bridgestone Arena. They lose 8-3 to the St. Louis Blues, giving up 7 goals in the second period. The most goals they've ever surrendered in a period in the history of their franchise, and the most goals that the St. Louis Blues have ever scored in a period in the history of their franchise. So you get a win against Chicago on Saturday to kind of respond to what was really a brutal game against Edmonton on Thursday. You come back, you get the 2 points against the Blackhawks, and then last night you go back with UC Soros in net if you're the Predators, and it's 1-1 heading into the second period, and very quickly it was no longer 1-1, and all of a sudden you turn around and it was 7-1. They pulled UC Soros after the fourth goal by St. Louis. But all in all, just a rout last night at Bridgestone Arena for the Blues. Joe, what did you make of the weekend for the Predators? And what did you make of going with UC Soros in back-to-back games over the weekend? First against Chicago, then against St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, I'm not super surprised. You know, we talked about it. And really, I feel like maybe John Hines even, you know, hinted at that a little bit, but you know, you had more than 24 hours between, you know, puck drops, of course, and not that the Chicago game was a breeze, but you know, I wasn't shocked to see it. Of course, as soon as we found out yesterday that was going to happen, I think Vingan put out a tweet on like how goalies have fared this year in back to backs.
Yeah.
Not good. There's a reason it doesn't happen often. Yeah, here you go. Okay, so Vingan's factoid, pretty good. There's 100 instances of goaltenders on 0 days rest. You know, so I guess that would all be back-to-backs, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's possible there'd be a back-to-back-to-back, but I don't think that exists in the NHL. So the average save percentage in those situations, .883. And, of course, Soros was a solid .800 yesterday. Yeah, you know, I don't know what you thought. I mean, obviously, it was just a complete ambush. It was ugly. Like, I mean, look, you set the all-time franchise record. That says something. And there's a lot of things that went wrong. I would also say that, like, of the 8 goals the Blues got, you still probably want 3 or 4 of them stopped, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Oh, look, and let's be honest here. Wasn't any better when Big Save Dave got in there. He let in a couple that were just absolutely brutal yesterday, too.
he fared worse. He was worse than Saros. Yeah. I mean, clearly, but yeah, collectively. I mean, I'd say there's probably a couple that Saros, you're putting him in a bad spot for sure. No argument, but also please save that puck.
Yeah. I mean, it was not good all around in the second period. And the funny thing is, like, I thought they started the game really well. I mean, you get out to the 1-0 lead. I thought they probably deserved a couple more of them in the first period. Duchesne had one that was right on the goal line that Falk had to swat away. And they had a couple of good looks. I mean, think about the second goal of the game, or I think it may have been the third goal of the game, where you've got that break and Josi comes down and he's got a chance right on the doorstep. And, you know, Bennington, to his credit, makes a big save. They go down the other way. And instead of it being 2-2 there, it's 3-1. That's a big swing in the game. And then St. Louis was just kind of rolling from there. But I don't know. The second goal where Tarasenko scored, that was a play where it was just a great power move by him and not great from Alex Carrier on that play. He just got absolutely torched on that play by Vladdy Tarasenko. But I thought they started the game well. If Josi converts there, it's 2-2. And I don't know. Maybe it's different. Probably not a ton different. I don't know how the game plays out after that. But going from basically a tap in away from being 2-2 after Bennington makes a big save, and then it's 3-1 the other way, and they were just kind of off and running from there.
Yeah, huge sequence. Huge sequence, no question. I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, I even felt like, you know, I mean, John Hines kind of said the same thing. Like, you know, the Preds could have been in much better shape. And it could have been a totally different game. You know, it really could have been, even if you just get a multi-goal lead. The first period was good. And the Blues looked more like the team on the back-to-back than the Preds for a lot of the first period. And then the Preds looked like a team on a back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and the Blues looked like they were in their season opener in the second period.
That's a pretty good way to describe it. And St. Louis, man, they're rolling right now. They took down Minnesota again the other day. I think they're 12-1-1 in their last 14 against Minnesota, and that's going to be the first-round matchup in the playoffs. They are as hot as anybody in the league right now. And, look, I'm not saying they're going to be like a favorite in the Western Conference or anything with Colorado playing the way that they are, but St. Louis is pretty darn good, and they are rounding into form, and that was on full display in the second period. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will, texting in, says, mixed results for the Preds, but one thing continues to be constant, our giveaways, 13-9 versus Chicago, 11-2 against the Blues. We're not very skilled with our passes. That often leads to missed scoring chances or odd man rushes against us. Lots of second line long balls or passes to no one. We just have to be better handling the puck, and or we will never be a better team. Think 97 Red Wings, 5 passes all day long on a team full of all-stars. I know we can be better. This is coming from Will from Bellevue.
Yeah, that team was okay. I don't know if this team's going to emulate that team, but that's a good point for sure. And, you know, on the point of the Blues, Robbie, it's kind of amazing how they've evolved here. Yep. You know, they are fire wagon hockey now. Like, you don't think about that. You know, there's actually, I thought Crispy had some great analysis. Very much enjoyed Pete Weber and Crispy on the Bally Sports broadcast, by the way.
Yep.
And by the way, Crispy was still honored yesterday. He's an original St. Louis Blue, so he can just flip, put on his Blues hat and say, all right, we did. We got it done, boys. but he's the best. But he was talking about this on the broadcast. He's like, you know, they're still like, they used to just be a crunching team. I think that's how he put it, a crunching team. Like, they're still strong, like they can still play a hard game. You know, they got big guys, but I mean, they are fast. They move that puck. They are getting behind you, and they got three lines that are really scary. I mean, the way that they have sort of distributed the danger through that lineup, they just roll their lines like that. Excuse me, roll their line. I mean, they are. I don't want to overreact to, you know, a 7-goal period, but I would not relish facing that team in the postseason.
Well, and you know, the 7-goal period is one thing, but they've scored, I think, four or more goals in like 11 or 12 straight games or something like that. Like, they are just absolutely rolling right now offensively. And, you know, obviously you've got O'Reilly and Tarasenko and those guys, but Kyrou and Rob Thomas and all these different guys that are just, they're just dealing right now. It's amazing to watch what they've been able to do. And all of a sudden that's 3 of 4 that they've taken from the Predators this year. And the last couple, when they've come in at Bridgestone Arena, been pretty darn impressive offensively of what St. Louis has been able to do. So, I mean, at least you're not playing them in the first round, I guess, if you're the Predators.
That's true.
See what it looks like against Calgary coming in tomorrow. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James texting in says, I've always believed that it's preferable to make the playoffs than not. Once you're in, anything can happen. The cup final run a few years back started with us barely getting in. After this week, I'm not sure I want this team to get in. That game yesterday, coupled with the Oilers game, felt like a flashing neon billboard saying, you don't belong here. We'll wind up facing the Avs, and it'll be a bloodbath. Maybe we don't want this. Not to go full doom and gloom, but I'm now also convinced that come summer, Forsberg will walk for nothing. Just kind of feels inevitable. This is coming from James on the text line. James, there was a lot of doom and gloom in that text.
My goodness, James. Someone give James some sunshine. Whew. Put a scoop of sunshine in that coffee, buddy. Now you want your team in the playoffs. Come on. I understand the, you know, the reaction after, I mean, you're right. Two of the last three games against teams that will be in the playoffs have been yuck at home. So it's, I mean, look, there's no dressing that pig up, but you want your team in the playoffs.
You do. And we'll see about the Forsberg situation, but to his point, after that game last night, you've now played more games than Dallas has. So while you're tied at points at 91, you're now in the second wild card position, which would have you taking on the Colorado Avalanche at the moment if the playoffs began today. Still 4 points up on Vegas, but now you've drawn evens with games played on Vegas as well. So it's going to be a pretty large week for the Predators. Vegas, I believe, playing tonight against New Jersey, and Dallas beginning a Canadian road trip tonight, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. So hot and heavy coming tonight for the Predators. They'll be scoreboard watching and back at it tomorrow against the Calgary Flames. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, I think there's certainly things we can do, we can do better, but I think we played two really hot teams. You know, I thought we didn't play our game against Edmonton, but I think Edmonton came in and played really well and then went home and shut out Vegas. And these guys are, coming in really hot, one of the hottest teams in the league. And, they played well. So I think there's certain areas that we have to, take out of tonight, some of our details without the puck. But I thought we came in, we were ready to play. And as I said, I think the game got away from us there a little bit. But, early in the game, it could have went the other way too.
That was John Hines, Predators head coach, after the 8-3 loss last night at Bridgestone Arena to the St. Louis Blues. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, this is becoming to me a difficult team to figure out. They've had two stinkers in the last three games against Edmonton and now against St. Louis as well. We talked about last week, was UC Saros maybe starting to figure it out a little bit? The save percentage was turning back up. The goals per game was turning back up towards his favor. And then all of a sudden you give up 4 to Edmonton. Now you're giving up a total of 8 as a team, 4 from Saros to the Blues as well. And the other thing that I think people aren't talking about a lot right now, because he's still being productive from the points perspective, but Philip Forsberg has not scored a goal in 8 games. He has not scored since the Buffalo game. Now, he's still racking up assists, and he had another assist last night. He had 2 against Chicago. Like, he's still playing fine, and the assists are there, but the goals have dried up a little bit for Philip Forsberg as of late. The points have dried up for Roman Josi as of late. He scores against Chicago. He's got 1 point in his last 6 games. So Forsberg not scoring right now. Josi's point production has slowed down. I think that's probably a lot of what we're seeing because of how important those two have been in terms of driving offense for this group. But it's been a whole lot of inconsistency as of late for the Predators, to the point where I don't really know what we're going to get from this group coming down the last couple weeks of the regular season.
No, it's a, it's a good point. And go back to the Florida game with Forsberg. He had some primo opportunities. He's kind of, I mean, he's kind of fighting it right now. He's, because again, he's still, and he has said this before, and I agree, you know, if you're not getting the opportunities, then that's when you're concerned. If you're getting the opportunities and you're creating, you know, those chances, then, you know, then like it's going to go in for you eventually. But I think right now he's in, I think he's in his most extended downturn of the season, a very inopportune time. And actually on our pregame show with Darren McFarland, I want to say, I don't remember who exactly had, it was the Hines interview, I guess it was Willie. Yeah. Willie's interview with John Hines. You know, he said that he actually met with Forsberg sometime over the weekend. Like Forsberg kind of came to him talking about the lack of goals lately and just sort of talking it out, you know? So obviously it's something that he, you know, is recognizing as an issue. This team badly needs him to score goals. I mean, it just does. It's, to me, crazy that we're this late and he hasn't hit the 40 mark yet. I mean, I still think he's going to probably get there. If he doesn't, then James, you may have a point, okay? Yeah. On the whole, not making the playoffs and not belonging, but that's a big concern. And you know, it's a big concern. Again, it's a bigger concern if he's just disappearing. He's not, but you got to bury though. This team doesn't have the, and look, this team has gotten a little bit of, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of garbage time, but you got a Cunning goal yesterday. You got a Cousins, you know, you've had a little bit of secondary scoring, but you're not going to beat good teams if your big boys aren't scoring.
You're not. And, you know, Matt Duchene continues to play well. He's at 39. I thought he had a couple of good looks for 40 yesterday. So, I mean, I don't think Forsberg's playing poorly. I think he's still playing well. I think Yossi is still playing well for the most part. I mean, look, nobody really played well in the second period of that game last night. So that just kind of is what it is at this point. But the offense is going to have to come back from those guys. I mean, it even feels like, to a certain degree, maybe John Hines is searching for it a little bit right now too. I mean, the lines continue to shuffle. They tried, you know, Trennan with Johansson and Janot to begin the game the other day. You've mixed up and kind of put that young line together now with Cody Glass coming back, with Ellie Tolvanen and Philip Tomasino. So they're searching for some different combinations that they're looking to have. I mean, I don't think they, at this point, want to really go back to the big line on a consistent basis, whether that be Granlund with Forsberg and Duchene or Johansson, Forsberg and Duchene. But you may have to just load back up with Johansson, Forsberg and Duchene at some point and get them rolling again just to get into the playoffs. Forget about when the playoffs get here. I mean, they're still in a race coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, you can always break it up then if you get there. But I agree. I think you may have to consider doing that. Just to maximize, knowing that, you know, in 5-on-5, you've got one line that should be able to, you know, to do damage for you. What about the Hurd line? Do you feel like they've maybe dropped a tick in terms of effectiveness of late overall?
I think so. And, you know, they got split up a little bit the other day too. So, you know, I think that's something that ultimately they'll probably be back together and stay together would be my guess, but I don't think they've been quite as effective. And the Edmonton game was kind of a perfect example. Like, they didn't get in on the forecheck at all. Nobody. They could not get their forecheck going. And when they can't get that going, it's just really hard for them to get in their game. And it's hard to get your forecheck going when you keep turning the puck over left and right. And that's kind of what Will in our text line was talking about earlier. And now we got another text from another Will in Kentucky talking about turnovers as well. Just like too many breakaways that you're giving up to the opposition. And I know it's quote, boring hockey to some people, but sometimes the best play is just take care of the puck, live to fight another day, put it deep in the other zone, and get in on your forecheck. And sometimes, especially in that Edmonton game, like, they didn't get to it at all. And Ekholm talked about that after the game. Like, it's basically what he said. He's like, we didn't establish a forecheck at all whatsoever. And when they can't do that, it's just really difficult for this team to be successful.
Yeah, that's what this team is, especially that line. I mean, they've got to get pucks deep, and then they can batter people and tire people out and create chances. I mean, and I think the Edmonton game was, you know, some mistakes, obviously. Of course it was. It was also a fast team that moves the puck extremely well. And that's what, I mean, that's what you saw yesterday. Some of those passes from the Blues. Yeah, there were mistakes. There were gaps, you know, in the D zone that you can't have in transition. The neutral zone, they just got, I mean, they were just getting bludgeoned in the neutral zone.
Yep.
But also, the opposition is making these fantastic passes and playing with precision. And that just makes it that much harder, too. That's why you have to, I mean, you have to just get the puck in there and go hit someone. That's what they do. So, I mean, that, you know, along with the big guys, you know, Forsberg being able to find the back of the net again, things like that. And that line, it is the identity line, as John Hines calls it. And if that's not operating at like full capacity or doing what they have done most of this year, then this is a pretty severely diminished team.
I had a buddy float this theory out to me, and I want to get your thoughts on it. And the theory was essentially with the style of play that the Predators have had and have had really for the last calendar year for John Hines, it's that playoff style of play. And when you play that way earlier in the regular season, some teams haven't gotten up to that level, or maybe they just don't want to play that way earlier in the regular season. And that's why the Predators have been successful this year. And now that we're closer to the playoffs and other teams are deciding to play that way and are being forced to play that way in a race, that maybe it's highlighting what the Predators really are. What do you make of that theory that was floated out to me this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there may be some truth to that. Obviously, the second half versus the first half of this team, pretty vastly different, right? You're talking about flirting with being number one in the West, and now you're flirting with not making the playoffs. I think there's a lot of different factors, but I understand. I mean, I get what he's saying, you know, sort of now there are teams that are better than you that are now embracing this style. And so now your advantage has kind of shrunk. I agree to a point, but also I still think that there's pieces on this team that can make that style effective in the postseason if they play well, if they don't make stupid mistakes, you know, if they're airtight in the D zone and if they do get their forecheck going. So, I mean, I think that there's some truth to that. I don't think it dooms the Preds.
I think there's some truth to it as well. I would also say the Edmonton game, this may sound crazy, I think the Edmonton game was worse for the Predators than the one yesterday. Maybe not the second period because it was just so bad in the second period, but the game from start to finish in the Edmonton game, from the opening faceoff until the final buzzer, they got totally punked in that game by Edmonton. I don't think Edmonton really plays that way. They're just fast and they're really skilled, and they've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl who need about, you know, this much room, and they're able to go out there and just dominate. And Leon Draisaitl, I mean, honestly, I thought he was pretty quiet for most of the game, and then when he got the puck, it ended up in the back of the net. Like, that's what happens with Leon Draisaitl. So I don't think it's all
on the power play, by the way.
Oh, yeah, on the power play. Like, I don't think it's all just, you know, the style of play. I do think that could be part of it. I will say this. I think tomorrow – we're going to learn a whole lot about this Predators team because, number one, it's Calgary. They've been playing really well as of late. That's a potential first-round matchup that you've got coming in too. And it's a team that can play that way. Like, it's a team that can play the style of playoff hockey that makes you successful. And Daryl Sutter, that's the way he wants to play. So it's a big one coming up for the Preds tomorrow. That's going to be a gigantic test.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and I agree with you. Look, there was a really good period of hockey yesterday from the Preds. you had to cash in more on it. And honestly, even if you have a multi-goal lead, who knows how that game goes? I know it's funny. It's always funny to say that after you gave up a touchdown in a period. But the Edmonton game was just like, ew. Like the whole game was like, ooh, man, not good.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Why do you think the Predators have been so inconsistent as of late? 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, full half and quarter season plans are available for the 2022-23 season. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations and priority access to the 2022 Stanley Cup playoff tickets. As a season ticket citizen, your tickets for round one of the 2022 Cup playoffs will be up to 20% lower than your regular season price. And tickets for round two of the Cup playoffs will be the same as your regular season price. So that's something you're going to want to take advantage of. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals including half off for 312 Pizza Company, the Woodhouse Spa, and Brooklyn Bowl. Plus, experience a 60-minute float session from Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you, talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jacob texting in says, we need the win, especially with Calgary on the back end of a back-to-back coming up. Got another texter that says, it would also probably be helpful if we didn't have a revolving door when it comes to the defense. The injuries and inconsistent play of some of the players certainly is not helpful, and not great news for the Predators on that front over the weekend either. Jeremy Lauzon, week to week, with quite frankly a nasty looking lower body injury that I don't know what the severity is, Joe. Obviously, I'm not a doctor and I don't know exactly what's wrong with him, but did not look good from Lauzon. And between him being out now, you've had Mark Borowiecki basically going back and forth between being in the lineup and out of the lineup. It has been a little bit of a revolving door back there as of late.
Yeah, I think I'll be surprised if we see Jeremy Lauzon again. Maybe, like in the playoffs if they are around for a while, but that didn't look good at all. Unfortunately, in the hockey world, you know, we're going to get week to week and that's about it. But you know, the thing is with Lauzon, obviously, we'll see. If, you know, I mean, I'm still really questioning whether a second round pick is was worth it for him. But I do like some of what I've seen from him. And I feel like he was cementing himself as a guy who was going to be on the ice for this team down the stretch. And now he's gone. And Borowiecki is very important to, you know, to have on the ice. You do what he does for sure. You know, but I think it just as, I mean, all around, he's important in there. I think they're better when they have him. And now it's even more important with Lauzon out.
He did have like a nice, nice Bobby Orr moment last night. Nice pass from, from Borowiecki on the first goal by Nick Cousins.
Just dropped it for him. I was like, dang, look at this guy creating offense. But seriously, he's a good hockey player, man. Like he's, you know, along with being probably the most fascinating dude on the team. And, one of the best fighters in the league right now. And he's a good player. They need him in the lineup. And it's now the margin for error with Lauzon out is bad. And I agree. I mean, I think that that's an excuse that you can make for them. It has its limitations in terms of all the things that are not working out well right now, but it has been a problem.
Well, and the other part of this is like, you need guys in your top four to play better. Like I think Favreau's got a different level he's got to get to. We talked about last week, he was a healthy scratch. You know, I think John Hines said he was average, and he's got to be good to great for the Predators if they're going to be good on that end. I didn't think Carrier was very good last night. I mean, the Tarasenko play, not great from Alex Carrier last night. So he's largely
been thrown
good.
Aside.
He got thrown aside on that play. And that's – look, it's going to happen when you're taking on some good players. Like, it's no defenseman out there is perfect. I didn't think Roman Josi was great last night defensively either. So it's going to happen, but there needs to be a little bit more consistency from them as well as they get down the stretch here if you're going to have any success whatsoever when it comes to the playoffs. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says Adam Vingan had commented that David Poile has more job security than a Supreme Court justice. Until there is a true change at the top with a new look at the game, there is very little hope in any meaningful response. This is coming from a texter on the text line.
Ah, Preds back on the map, you know. This is my new little phrase. Whenever things start going poorly, the Preds fan base gets back on the map. Back on Mad at Poile.
Yep.
Thank you.
I love that, Joe. That is amazing.
6:36 a.m. little acronym pun for you. But yes. I don't know why. Like, why do I think of random crap like this? You know,
I don't know, but it's awesome.
I don't know. But hey, look, first of all, we've talked extensively about this, and that's a good line by Vingan. I would say it is very, you know, you just don't see in pro sports a situation where, you know, like a GM basically, well, has a job this long. I mean, you just don't see it. And I think obviously this renaissance of this team in the last year plus has changed. It would have been very interesting in terms of David Poile and his job. I think at this point, people who are quickly jumping to that, I'd say it's a little bit early to talk about stuff like that, because there have been some good developments here. But it's not, I mean, you can't tell me that like they have no chance to do anything because he's the GM, you know? I mean, he's not playing right now. It's two different things. And I still believe that this team as constructed, if everything worked and you had best case scenario and everything, which I know is asking a lot, there's not as much margin for error as some teams. But if that is the case, if you had everything working the way you want it, this is a good hockey team that could do damage in a postseason. It's funny to say that a day after they gave up a touchdown in one period, but I absolutely believe that still.
I agree. And I do think when you have games like last night, it sets yourself up for a little bit of like crazy season on social media. Like I had somebody ask me last night if the team is tuning out John Hines at this point. I was like, I don't think so. They just won Saturday. they gave up. Look, they had a really bad period. And really bad's being kind. They had a god-awful second period yesterday. It was the worst second period, worst period as a whole, probably in the history of their franchise. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact when you look at the goals that were given up. So I get it. Like, I get the reaction today. It was not good yesterday. And, you know, John Hines was talking about it after the game. Look, it was interesting to me. Like, after the Edmonton game, we basically got the John Hines version of I'm just here because so I don't get fined. Like, that's basically what happened with John Hines after the Edmonton game. Basically every response was, yeah, looking forward to Saturday. Looking forward to that response on Saturday. He was a little bit more expansive last night and talked about, you know, some good spots in the game. So that kind of tells me he was disgusted with the performance on Thursday and maybe not as much last night with how they began the game, but it got away from him, and now you're sitting in a spot where the games in hand advantage you had on Vegas is gone. Now, you do have a 4-point lead on them, but they're taking on the New Jersey Devils tonight while you're taking on the Calgary Flames coming in tomorrow. I mean, it's not easy. It's not difficult to see where this could get pretty hairy for the Predators coming down the stretch. So I get the reaction.
And I get that it's hard to, you know, keep it level after a game like that. That was incredible, that period. So, I mean, April in Portland, who I consider, you know, a faithful listener who typically, I would say, probably trends more on the positive side on the text line. Preds have been hot garbage. So, there's a good like glimpse of the fan base today. I'll continue with her text. Defensive play has been atrocious. I feel it's hard for them to get a rhythm with Hines putting the lines in a blender every night. Also want him to put Dutchie, Phil, and Joey back together. At least they were scoring. We talked about that earlier. May have to, or like you said, put those two together with one of those two centers and say, got to get some goals here. Cause yesterday was ugly. And like you said, I mean, that's a record breaker, that period. But I still think the consistent concern right now is still more, can you manufacture, generate enough offense 5-on-5?
Yep. Cody on the text line says, I think this is a classic case where the Preds peak too early in the season and they're beginning to flatline. They'll make the playoffs and be a tough out. This is coming from Cody on the text line. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, peaking too early, maybe. That could have happened. I mean, the bigger part of that in terms of peaking is what we talked about earlier. Philip Forsberg's gone 8 games without a goal, and now Roman Josi's dried up a little bit offensively as well. He's got 1 point in his last 6 games. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, Joe, when those two guys aren't producing at the clip they were producing at earlier, it's just difficult for this team because there's not enough consistent offense coming from anywhere else. I mean, it was nice to see Tolvanen score on Saturday. That was a good shot that he had. Nice feed from Tomasino and Glass on that play. So, yeah. I mean, it shows you a glimpse that it's still there, I guess, but it's not anywhere consistent enough.
Brandy says on the text, I'm not sure if I missed y'all talk about this. Why didn't Hines start Riddick against the weaker team, the Hawks, so Soros can be rested for the Blues? See, I disagree with that. I think it's certainly fair to say you just should have not messed with Soros on a back-to-back yesterday. Obviously, it's very easy to say that given the outcome, but I mean, I think it's like, look, you have so many tough games ahead. Riddick last time out was good. Just do your traditional back-to-back, but you know what? You have to win the Chicago game. You play like garbage against Edmonton. You have to win the Chicago game. I think we talked about this last week, or maybe it was on one of our other shows on 1025. But Crispy has also was asked about it. And Crispy's big thing is you go with your starter against the weaker team for sure, because like you have to make sure you get 2 points in some of these games. So I disagree. You don't flip flop it. You absolutely start Soros against the Blackhawks. You did. You still had to grind one out to win 4-3, but those 2 points are big right now. Yesterday, yeah. I mean, again, it's easy to say when you got to go back to the original reaction. When I found out yesterday that he was going to start Soros, I said, okay, I get it. I mean, that's this time of year, and you have a little extra time, and you got to go with in the building, in the room. How's he feeling? All that stuff. I'm sure they did all that stuff. It's very easy now to say that was dumb. And I will say that Riddick, it's a tough spot. We could watch Riddick yesterday, see how bad he was, and say, see, why would you start him? But that's just a tough spot. You know, the Blues were just flying around, and it's just right in your face, you know. And so if Riddick would have gotten the start yesterday, you know, I'm sure he would have played better.
It's a tough spot. I will say, like, if you don't have any confidence in your backup goalie, which I don't know if they do or not. I mean, the numbers from Riddick aren't great. But he's played well in some big games for you this year. I don't know what their confidence level is in Riddick. But if you don't have confidence in him, I mean, give Connor Ingram a look. Because what you can't do is just not have any option whatsoever as your backup goalie and not have confidence there. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let me tell you about Seltzerland. Seltzerland turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th, Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moment. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. And speaking of tickets to Seltzerland, I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to Seltzerland coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in on the Predators. Ryan, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. Yesterday is, I feel like it's on Hines, and this is becoming ridiculous. He has wasted UC on teams like Buffalo twice, Ottawa, and all these Arizona, all these garbage teams that we should have played Riddick. Riddick is playing 8 games this year, and that's it. If you don't have confidence in your backup, why'd you even bother starting Riddick? It's like he just did it to complete the roster. Riddick should have played against Chicago, not UC, and UC looks burned out. I understand it's his first real season as a starter, and they want to see what he looks like, but you can't burn out your goalie like this. Hines did the same thing when he was the Devils head coach. When they made their playoff run, he burned out the starter on useless games, and they hit the playoffs. They got their butts kicked by Tampa, and Hines is doing the same thing to this team with UC. It's ridiculous. If the Preds miss the playoffs, this is on Hines and Poile not doing the right thing, and they both need to be gone at the end of the year.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. I mean, a lot of things there. First off, Riddick's played 13 games, not in 8 games. And the fact is save percentage is .883, guys. Like, he's not been good. And I understand that Riddick has had some good moments, and he's come in and won some games, but his save percentage is .883. It's not good. It's bad. It's really bad. So to your point, I get it. Like if you don't have confidence in him, then do something else and maybe try Connor Ingram and see what he can do. I understand that, but you know, this idea that you could just throw David Riddick out there against the Blackhawks or the Sabres and the Senators and all these teams and come away with wins. I mean, they threw UC Saros out there against the Sabres and they lost. Like, it's not necessarily guaranteed that they're just throwaway games like that. This team's not good enough to have throwaway games. Like, you got to win. You got to win against Chicago.
Right. So I'm half and half on that call. Like, look, it may be a fair criticism, like the UC being burned out and that, you know, leading to a bad finish here or a bad playoff outcome if they get in. That may be true and fair. And then so then you can go back and say, well, somewhere along the way you should have found more work, or you should, like you said last segment, Robbie, then if you don't have confidence in Riddick, then you can go somewhere else. But I totally disagree with the pointless games. They had to win this Chicago game. They had to win it. It was absolutely essential. So if you have to win a game, then are you not going with your best players? Of course you're going with your best players. You of course play UC Saros against Chicago. Then, you know, you can second guess yesterday, that decision, but I don't think there's any question. You go with your best, and these games, they have to get these games. If they had more of these games against these quote unquote pointless games, they wouldn't be in this position right now. They've lost too many of them.
Yep. I got a texture that says, in my opinion, Matt Duchene has been playing out of this world. He's been amazing, but one person doesn't make the team. Saros is just seems like he's been in a slump for the last 6 weeks to 2 months. He doesn't seem like his normal self. And, of course, a lot of this is going to rest on John Hines, like April said in Portland. He's got to quit mixing up the lines, looking for magic when we were ahead in the standings and headed for the playoffs. This is coming from a texter on the text line. I mean, I get the lineup part of it and the criticism there. You're trying to spread those guys out because this time of year, you don't want to make it easy on teams to really focus all their energy on one line. But look, we've seen the Predators put Forsberg and Duchene back together a little bit more as of late, and they've loaded those guys up even when they were separated in certain instances. So it's not like they've been totally apart from each other, but I do wonder if a Johansson-Forsberg-Duchene reunion could be coming on a more permanent basis the next few games. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that if you're John Hines.
It's going to be interesting. And now to April's previous point, you know, John Hines putting the lines in a blender, that you also probably have to worry a little bit about constantly tinkering, right? Yep. Because that can probably eventually have a negative effect when, as you're trying to find the right combinations. And obviously within a game, you're going to do certain things. I mean, that happens all the time, but I'm saying, you know, for the bulk of the time, what are you going with? I think it does make sense to get a big line back together here to get into the playoffs. I mean, because right now it's just yesterday sort of, and really the whole weekend sort of took the focus away from what I still think is the concern, which is, you know, 5-on-5 generating offense. I mean, yesterday was so ugly that you forget about it. And, the Preds did get 4 goals against the Blackhawks. So, That was a nice output, but I just over the stretch, I think that's still a bigger concern than Saros. But Saros is also, he's in totally uncharted territory right now, way past it. He's way past the border of uncharted territory, and we knew that was going to happen this year, but you didn't know how he's going to react. How much of that is you know, influencing the overall play since the All-Star break? Probably some.
Well, and he's going to basically double his output from any other year. I mean, he played a lot last year. I think it was like 35 games is what he ended up at. He's going to get close to 70 this year with the way that he's playing. Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line says, nothing about the Preds' play is unexpected. It's status quo annually. They get hot and then cool down, continue to keep the team together, yet can never get over the hump. This is coming from Chip from Mount Juliet.
Well, Chip, they've changed a lot of things. I mean, you do – if you have some great players, like, you typically want to – you know, like, this isn't like a few years ago when it was like – Paul was like, all right, we're running it back. The guys said we're going to run it back after the President's Trophy, after the Winnipeg series, and they ran it back, and it started to go the wrong way, right? This isn't that. I mean, they've moved a ton of these core players now. They got a very tiny core that has – and it's a, I mean, to me, I want Roman Josi on my team. I want Philip Forsberg on my team. And even some of the guys like Ekholm, I want him on my team. Sissons, you know, I mean, for the most part, it's got, they've become one of the younger teams in the league. So it's not exactly what you're saying there. And it's not an elite team. And what you say there, it's status quo, get hot, cool down, all that stuff. And that's most of the league. I mean, if you want to be real, that's most of the league. You want your team to be elite. They aren't that. And we can all agree on that.
I mean, last year they were about as cold as it gets, and then they heated up going into playoffs. I mean, it's not the same formula every year, but I do get it. Like, we've had a couple of texts about they're in the middle, and they're always in the middle. Matt on the text line said, languishing in the middle with no path forward is just the way the GM has conducted himself. How have we had 25 years of this with no change? I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but we can't expect better if we don't take the game seriously. This is coming from Matt on the text line. Like, I do get the fatigue of being in the middle.
Yeah, but that's not accurate either. I mean, you've built up a couple times to teams that were, I think, among the best in the league, and then different things have happened since then. So it's not like it's just been this flatline thing for a year. I mean, you know, you've had ups and downs. Look, hey, grass is always greener. How many years in a row have the wonderful Detroit Red Wings, the winged wheel, now not made the playoffs? Six in a row, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying today is a day to be like, hey, we should just be happy to be barely getting into the playoffs. But I mean, it could be worse, and it's not exactly the way you just said it there.
Justin from Nashville on the text line says, let's be honest, this team hasn't been consistent since the All-Star break. Barely beating the Sharks and Blackhawks isn't a good omen. We relied on Yossi and Saros all year. The rest of the team outside the top line and Tanner Janot isn't good enough. Watch Calgary and Colorado score 7 goals on Saturday. They're playing playoff hockey already. Riddick isn't good, and that's on Poile. This is coming from Justin from Nashville on the text line. I do understand, like, the backup goalie part of this. Again, Riddick has come up big in a couple of games this year, but he's barely played. And his numbers are what they are. I mean, he's got an .883 save percentage. So I think you're hoping for a little bit more out of that from your backup goalie. Now, maybe Connor Ingram's just not ready for that yet. I do think that's probably the plan next year, is for Connor Ingram to be that guy. But it would be nice to not have to run UC Saros into the ground like they've done to this point. And I'm not saying that Saros is, like, that's the total reason that he's not playing well right now, because he is about to be 27 years old. I do think people sometimes make a little bit too much of the workload stuff of this. I mean, Pekka played darn near 70 games a year for a long time. So it can be done, but this is the first time that he's had to deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's just new territory. I mean, I think that this will be the norm, and I think they'll probably have a better backup. This was the bridge year, hoping Ingram comes along. And obviously down the road, Askarov, we'll see what happens with all that, right? But they have a good goalie situation. This was the year where it's like, okay, can you find a one-year decent backup? And Riddick has not been as good as hope, but he's also come up – he has won a couple big games for them this year. Either way, even if they'd gotten a better – if they got a better backup goalie, they'd be in a better spot. But UC Saros' workload, I don't think, would be any different.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.